Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everyone out this evening. Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And we are going to pick up where we left off this morning. This morning we were talking about what it means to be a Christian, and one of those things is being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We started back in 1 Samuel and went through the Bible and looked at God's people being in His army, in the Lord's army. And this evening in 1 Corinthians, we want to look at five specific things that will help us to be a good soldier of Christ. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, "Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." So here, Paul, the Apostle Paul, gives five imperatives. What is an imperative? It's something that is not to be avoided or evaded. It is that which must be obeyed. It's binding. In these brief phrases, Paul sums up the duty of the entire epistle. And we all need to realize that these imperatives come from heaven. And if we do not regard them as such, we could jeopardize our soul. And once a person decides to be a Christian, by the process of becoming a Christian, that obligates us to some real duties. One of those is, as we said this morning, is being a good soldier of Jesus. In Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." We have a duty to keep. Luke 17:10, "So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants, for we have done what was our duty to do.'" We do everything that God tells us to do. Everything that's in the Bible. Can we stick our chest out and say, "Look what we've done"? No. That's only those things that are reasonable for us to do. When we have fulfilled everything that is in the Bible, we are still unprofitable servants. Last Sunday evening, when I started off, we went to 1 Timothy 4:16. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing so you shall both save yourself and those that hear thee." We have a duty to share the gospel with others. We have a duty to do that for ourselves so that we save ourselves and for any of those that will listen. We aren't doing God any favors. We're only doing what is our duty and only what is reasonable. So here Paul gives us these five imperatives, these five things that we must do. So let's look at them in the order that they appear in the text. The first one, watch, or watch ye. What does this mean? It means to be awake, to be vigilant, to keep awake, to be watchful, not careless, not easily deceived. You know, Satan is out there trying to deceive us all the time. One way or another, we need to be awake. If a person is not watchful, he's not qualified to stand in the faith, to behave like a man, to be strong and exercise love. It all starts with being watchful, keeping our eyes open. You know, the Lord's people have always been called upon to be on the lookout or to watch out. And there are a number of things that a Christian must watch. One of those things, elders must watch out for our souls. In Hebrews 13:17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So we see that the elders that God has set in the churches are to watch out for our souls. They are to do that lovingly, with joy, without grief. In Mark 13, we are told that we must watch and be ready for the second coming of Christ. He says, watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what say I to you? I say to all, watch. Again, we want to be a good soldier of Christ. We are to watch. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. We should also watch for those that we might teach. John 4:35. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white unto harvest. We are to watch for those opportunities that we can share the gospel with someone. We are to watch for false teachers. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You know, we are to test everything. If somebody says something, you just don't take it for granted. You know, I've hear so many people talk about this or that happening. They'll talk about something they saw or heard somebody else say. Have they investigated it? Have they checked it out? Do they know what they are saying is true? There are false teachers out there. Another thing that we are to watch for is to watch our temper, our tongue, watch our speech. James 1:19 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So we are to watch our disposition, our character, our tongue. We are to watch that no advantage may be gained over us by Satan. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan is always out there trying to trip us up, trying to get us to fall. He has so many devices, as they are called, the schemes, the wiles, the tools, the deception. And we should watch so that no one takes advantage of us, and especially Satan. Continuing on with that thought, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. See, here Peter is taking this concept of watching and being sober and being vigilant and comparing that to being on the lookout for Satan, who is walking about like a roaring lion, like a roaring lion. And we need to be sober. When you hear a lion roar, if you've ever been in a zoo and you hear a lion roar, that just goes right through your bones. You can see why they are called the king of the beast. When a lion does that out in the wild, he roars. What happens? You'll see a flock of animals. They'll take off running. Who does the lion go after? He goes after the weak animal. The weak animal. We want to be sober. We want to be vigilant. We don't want to be that weak animal, because Satan is roaring. He's like, he walks about like a roaring lion. He's just looking for one of us to pick off. If we aren't watching, he's going to get us. Along with that thought also, Matthew 6, 26, 41, we are to watch for temptation. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. There are so many things that we are told to watch for. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, no temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape, and you may be able to bear it. Preachers are to watch. 2 Timothy 4, 5, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. We are to be watchful. We are to watch for opportunities for usefulness. Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Over and over and over. And this is just a short list of the things that we are told to watch for. But as we read in our verse, watch, stand fast in the faith, be strave, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. It all stands with watching. What happens if we aren't watching? We're either going to fall. You see with the church, if they aren't watching out, if they aren't looking out, they can go into apostasy. Why do we have thousands of churches today? Why? Because people stopped watching and error came in and took over. So we are to watch. We are to watch. The next thing that it says is stand fast in the faith. So we talked this morning about the concept of standing being a military term. In Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's interesting too. The Bible talks about dealing with sin in different ways. In so many places, we are told to stand. We are to take our stand and not be moved. We are to put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand. Stand fast in the faith. The only time that I know of that we are told to flee or run when temptation comes along is when it talks about sexual immorality. And it tells us, flee. Don't stand there and try to fight it, because it's going to get the upper hand. We are told to flee. Every other place, we are told to stand. We must be prepared to stand. And again, in the Lord's church, we need to stand up and be counted. There's too much apathy, too much indifference, too much I don't care in all the churches today. And that's creeping into the Lord's church. Again, we're in a battle. Souls are at stake. People say, well, you can believe this if you want to. I don't agree with that. I'm going to believe this. Well, if God told us what He wants us to do to be saved, how He wants us to live, we don't have the option of picking this one or that one. Just like Joshua said, don't turn to the right or don't turn to the left. We are to walk that line that God has laid out for us. And we need to stand. We need to stand up and be counted. We are to stand fast in the gospel. It says in the faith, that's the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. We stand in the gospel. When people say, where do you stand on the issues? We stand on God's word. Do we know what the issues are? You know, the issues have been destroying the Lord's church for years. It's different things at different times. and there's going to be more coming. If we aren't watching out, they're going to come in. If we aren't standing in the gospel, standing fast in the faith, again, Satan is going to get the upper hand. That happened back in the first century also. It's not something new to today. Galatians 1, beginning at verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. What is Paul telling us to do? To stand fast. He said, I'm surprised that you're so soon removed from that gospel to a different gospel, which really isn't not another gospel. And if we, an apostle chosen by Jesus, if we tell you something different than what was delivered, or even if an angel comes and speaks to you, don't believe him. Don't believe him. Again, people will just swallow whatever somebody tells them. You turn on the TV, they can say anything. And I repeat this often, but sometimes people will be talking to me about something, and I know what they're saying is not accurate, and they'll tell me what they heard, and I'll say, really? You know what I heard? The cow jumped over the moon. You know, people just swallow everything without checking it out. We are to have convictions. If we're going to stand fast in the faith, we must have convictions. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. If we believe what the Bible says, we should be talking it up, talking it up. So what does it mean to stand fast in the faith? It means to contend for the faith, as we read in Jude 5. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered for all. That once delivered for all means there's no more revelations that's coming. It was one time, once for all, delivered, and we are to contend for it. Contend earnestly, diligently, with all our effort. What does it mean to stand fast in the faith? It means to stand for the church in the New Testament. How many churches did Christ build? He said, I will build my church. My church. Christ built my church, the church of Christ. Where do all of these men get all of these names for all of these denominations? We need to take a stand for the New Testament church. We need to take a stand for New Testament worship. We were visiting at the nursing home this afternoon and saw a bulletin from a congregation, had any and everything under the sun there of what goes on. And again, people don't watch. They don't compare with the Word of God. They don't know what it says. So they think it's fine to give for this and that, to have their Valentine's dinner, to have this ministry, that ministry, the other ministry, whatever you want to do in the name of religion, and you can do that. But what did Jesus say? Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. And then he's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's lawlessness. That's without authority. What does it mean to stand in the faith? It means to stand for purity of life. We must lead a life that is pure and clean and holy. We don't want to be corrupted by the world. Is that easy? No, because we live in a corrupt, filthy world. Is it possible? It's possible. How do we do that? By the renewing of our mind. It's an ongoing process, but if we want to stand in the faith, we must stand for purity of life. We must stand against all error, not just some of the error. We must stand against all error. And again, we have to study our Bibles to know what that error is. Well, with these few short phrases here, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave. King James says, quit ye like men. New King James says, behave, or be brave. What does quit ye like men mean? It means behave like a man. Behave or act like men. The idea in this passage is the idea to play the role of being a man. What does that mean? That means to us men, we need to grow up, stop acting like boys, and start acting like men. 1 Samuel 4:9, be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight. If we want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ in the army of the Lord, we need to act like men, not like children, not like children. Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. It's okay to be a child when we are a child, but there's a time to grow up. And sometimes you see people in physical life, they don't want to grow up. They don't want to take on responsibility. They want somebody else to take care of them. They want to stay a child forever. Unfortunately, that carries over into the church. Sometimes people become baptized, they're a new creature, they're a child in Christ, and then they don't want to grow up. They want to, I'll keep letting brother so-and-so do this. Brother so-and-so, he's good at that, he can do that. We'll let him do it. We'll let this one do it. And then what happens? We don't grow up. We aren't preparing the church for the future. We aren't taking care of the church today. Why do people do that? Different reasons for different people. But whatever the reason is, we've got to act like men. Christians are to be manly. You know, several years ago, one of the actors in Hollywood came up with this phrase for men that didn't act like men, and he called them girly men. Girly men. And unfortunately, in some churches, there may be some girly men in them that don't want to act like a man. Christians are to be manly. We're in the Lord's army. We are to contend with difficulties. We don't just give up or walk away with them. We deal with them. We are to bear up under opposition. Are we going to face opposition? Sure. Because Satan's going to be, if we're doing our job, Satan's going to be fighting against us every day. We have to endure temporary defeat. Satan might trip us up and we fall. Do we just give up? We better not. We need to get up and keep marching on. Christians are to be men. Encourage. Be strong and of good courage. Joshua said that over and over and over. We need to be men in understanding. Just again, like we were talking about this morning, the men in David's army that were men of understanding, they were men of intelligence, of reason. They could see through an issue. They knew what was good for Israel at the time. We need to be men of understanding and know what is good for the church at this time. And what is good for the church at this time? He's told us right here in His Word. There's no surprises. We need to be men in usefulness. we need to be active, doing things. We need to stop being like children. Sometimes you see children that are fussing. They're filled with pettiness, selfishness. If they don't get what they want or get their way, they act in an ugly manner. They may not be sober-minded. Children aren't going to be thinking on serious matters or spiritual matters. They may be consumed too much with the fun things in life and ignore some of the responsibilities of life. So watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, quit ye like men, act like men. And then he goes on and he says, be strong, be strong. God has always expected his people to be strong. And why shouldn't we? We are his children. We are the children of God. Again, back to our study in Joshua. Over and over, he would tell them to be strong and courageous. So that raises the question, well, how can we be strong? Well, we become strong by our faith. And you can see throughout the Bible, like as we've been studying the Gospel of John, when people came to Christ or Christ called them and their faith would grow, their faith would become stronger, their faith would manifest itself. We're told in Hebrews 11, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if we want to be, again, like that soldier that is pleasing to the one that enlisted him, we have to have faith. If we want to be strong, as Paul tells us here, we have to take that faith and let it grow. We have to let it grow. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more we study God's Word, the stronger our faith is going to be. But then, two, it's not just reading it, because I could read the Bible from cover to cover and put the book down and then go out and make the biggest mistake. What's happening? God is going to test us. He's going to test us. We're told that our faith is going to be tested, so it'll be precious like gold. And that's good. That's good. So that we know if we are weak in this area, we need to correct our life now so we have it corrected before he returns again. But we become strong through faith. So how do we manifest our strength? If we read his word, we're going to get faith. We're going to have it in here. So how do we get it out of our hearts, out of our minds, so it's manifested? Well, by loyalty to the Word of God. If God's Word says this, and I go out and do that, am I strong? Am I strong in the faith? No. And that's real easy to see. The Bible says, do this, and I don't do that. I'm not strong. How do we manifest our strength? By resisting temptation. The more we put on the armor of God, prepare ourselves, the better we can resist temptation. And again, you'll see someone from the world that might change his heart and want to become a Christian. He wants to become a Christian, but he falls into temptation. We understand that. That is not what God desires, that he gives in to temptation. But there's that process where we can understand that with somebody that has just been baptized. But somebody that's been a Christian 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they are out committing sins, they aren't resisting temptations. Are they manifesting strength? They aren't manifesting strength. How do we manifest strength? By faithful attendance. By faithful attendance, by liberal giving, by loving consideration of the rights and needs of others. If there is something that comes up, do we always have to have our way with everything? No. If we don't, that's a sign of strength. If it's not a matter of doctrine and we give in on something else, that's what we should do. We show our strength by striving against sin. In Philippians 1:1, we have the components of a congregation: elders, deacons, and saints. And all three of those groups, elders, deacons, and saints, must all be strong. Christianity is not for weaklings. We are in the Lord's army. Courage and being strong go hand in hand. And why shouldn't we be courageous? And why shouldn't we be strong? Because God has given us everything so that we can be victorious. Well, looking at the verse again, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love. Love is the mainspring of life. It underlies all that we do. 1 Corinthians 13, we are familiar with that, with the qualities of love, what love does. God is love. How do we see the love of God today? We don't see Jesus dying on the cross today. How do we see the love of God today? We see it manifested in our life to others. Love must be real. You know, we can't just say, I love you, God. We must manifest it. Manifest it. There are a lot of people that are in love today, but they're in love with themselves. They're selfish, and they want to do those things that please them. You, if you could get an honest answer from people, what's the most important thing in their life? One of the top couple answers would be pleasure. Whatever it is in their life, that's their treasure. It's pleasure. But we are to do all things with love. Even our enemies, are we to love our enemies? We are to even love our enemies. Why should we love our enemies? Because they are created in the image of God also. They have an eternal soul that needs saving. Christ died for them also. And how can we say we don't love this person or that person that we see, but we say that we love God? With this love, do all things with love. Some people have a problem of receiving the love of the truth. The Word of God is in so many ways like a sword. It will cut somebody, but it's with love. Our hearts have to be pierced. They have to be pricked. They have to be crushed so that we can... This book is a book of love, and we have to receive it so that then we can turn do all things in love. During the Restoration Movement, there was a phrase that was common. In doctrine, unity. So that meant whatever the doctrinal things are, we all have to agree with those. In opinion, liberty. That meant if something is a matter of judgment, and you think it should be done this way, and I think I should do it this way, we should respect that those are opinions and let each other do that. In all things, love, whether it's unity or liberty, in doctrine, unity, in opinion, liberty, and in all things, love. Love is to be manifested in our life as we manifest Christ in our life. And our text, notice, it requires love in everything. Let all that you do be done with love. That eliminates any malice, any spite, any bitterness, any hatred, any pettiness, any selfishness, any envy, any jealousy. Whatever it is we do, we are to do with love, joyfully, willingly. And again, after we've done all of that, Do we have anything to brag about? No. We're still an unprofitable servant. We're only doing what it is our duty to do. Love is the bond of perfectness. Love is the cement that holds everything else in place. We're told to love in deed and truth. Sometimes we say we are to love in word and deed. We are to love with lip and life. We are to manifest it. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:22, how are we to love? Love fervently. Don't let it just be some little sparkle or flash in the pan. We are to love fervently. We are to love God. We are to love each other. And we are to love the lost. And we are to love God with all our being, all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. So, what I would love for you to see today is that 1 Corinthians 16:13-14 gives us the details of what we need to do to be a good soldier that we read about this morning in 2 Timothy 2. To be a Christian, to be a soldier, to be a good soldier in the Lord's army, we need to watch. We need to stand fast in the faith. We need to act like men. We need to be strong. And we need to let all things be done in love. If we do that, we are on our way to being a Christian that God will welcome into heaven one day when this short time here on this earth is over. So again, are we a good soldier? Are we a good Christian? If not, why not? God has made all things possible for us to become a Christian, all things possible for us to stay a Christian. The only thing that's stopping us, the only thing that's going to send us to hell, and I hear people say, why would God send somebody to hell? It's a choice. If we end up there, it's by our choice because we are not obeying the commands of God. Don't put off obeying God. If we can help anyone this evening in being obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
Heavy old heart that is weary, tending